Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Edgewalker teleconference on September 19th, 2013. Our guest today is Patricia Varley, who is a certified Edgewalker facilitator, speaker, a coach, and also a great expert on marketing and networking, and a dear friend. And Patricia, we're delighted to have you with us today. Before that we get started on your actual, what you're going to be sharing with us, we like to begin these teleconferences with a moment of silence and an inspirational quote. So I wanted to read something from Lewis Thomas, who wrote The Lives of a Cell. It's a short phrase, and then ask us to spend a moment together in silence. Lewis Thomas, hi, welcome. We're about to do an inspirational quote and then a moment of silence. Lewis Thomas writes, "The urge to link up in collaborative arrangements is perhaps the oldest, strongest, and most fundamental force in nature. There are no solitary creatures. Every form of life is dependent on other forms." So please join me in about 60 seconds of silence. Thank you very much, and welcome, everyone. Let's do a quick check-in so that Patricia can hear who's on the call. So please say your name and where you're located. Anybody can begin.
Hi,
Ed Williams from Fayetteville, Arkansas.
Diane Williams from Fayetteville, Arkansas.
Sue Garland, Fayetteville, Arkansas.
Bruce Garland, Fayetteville, Arkansas.
This is Dan Harris, Sam Walton Business School.
This is Rob Anderson from San Francisco, California.
This is Catherine Egan from Vancouver Island, B.C.
This is Ellis Ralph from Fayetteville for Judy.
Hello?
Hello? Yes, you just joined the call?
No, it's Patricia. My I think Mercury is retrograde.
So we love
welcome
you for
everybody.
Good. I'm glad your phone is working again, Patricia.
Yeah, it's very strange, and I'm actually in Santa Fe right now, but I'm in New Mexico, which is a beautiful place, and we've been here, Judy, four together. And
yes.
Going to be going up to Colorado Aspen today, so it's a beautiful time of year to be here.
And normally you live in?
Maui. Yeah, I live in Maui for probably eight, 9 months a year. So, I feel very blessed to be in such beautiful places and also to be on the call with all of you today. So thank you for taking and making the time to join me. And Judy, I thought it would be really interesting and kind of for all the participants today to learn where this topic came from, because it goes like back 20 years, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Yeah, go ahead. I had introduced you earlier and we did a quote and a moment of silence. You may have missed that actually, so I apologize. And
No, I got that.
Okay, good. So you've been with us for most of it.
Yeah.
So, let me turn it over to you, and I'm just thank you so much for for being on the call today and for leading this particular teleconference. I'm just so excited to have you being doing this. And yeah, give us the history. That'll be terrific.
Yeah, you know, I've known Judy, gosh, Judy, we've known each other since, what, like 1991 or 90. We have a long, very, you know, a collegial and a friendship that I value and respect just really in my heart and on so many levels. So thank you for allowing me to be here today. But what's really great is this topic, marketing and networking for success, I call it a heart-centered approach. I actually wrote back in, like, I guess in the early 90s, I was actually involved in a network marketing company, and at the time built a, it's really before coaching, and a lot of the work I do now was even on the radar. And I built a very large international network marketing organization of 1,000 distributors that generated about $1 million a year in sales. And when I got to know Judy, I at the time she was really, and as she is now, very passionate about bringing spirit into the workplace. And she asked me, you know, we met through Kripala, the Kripala Consultants Collaborative, and she asked me to write an article for her Spirit at Work, the Association for Spirit at Work newsletter, which she had started in the early 90s, and we were both in Connecticut at the time. So I wrote this article on with a diagram and 11 key points on marketing and networking for success, a heart-centered approach. And what I have found of a lot of the topics that I've spoken about and written about, this particular one has had a lot of life. I've spoken at it at business conferences and entrepreneurial groups and women's groups and chamber of commerces. And I think that what's really fascinating for a lot of people that I want to share with you today, and a lot of us are really already have this focus, is what a heart-centered approach has to do with marketing and networking, and how when you have a heart-centered approach, it actually helps to enhance the success that you do have in your business, but also with your clientele. So I actually want to start with a quote that I found that I feel summarizes what the whole point of this is. And it says here, it's by Lawrence and Hazel Mayer, and it says, "You may not think that the world needs you, but it does. For you are unique, like no one that has ever been before or will come after. No one can speak your voice, say your piece, smile your smile, or shine your light. No one can take your place, for it is yours alone to fill. If you are not there to shine your light, who knows how many travelers will lose their way as they try to pass by your empty place in the darkness." And when I wrote the article, I found the quote, in a sense, afterwards, because it really explains that because there is only one of us in all of time, we only have our voice, our unique contribution, even if, let's say, all of us on the call are consultants or coaches, or even if we do similar work, because we are each a unique, one-of-a-kind individual, we have what I call a sense of a purpose or a contribution to bring to the world, even if we don't always know what it might be. So a lot about marketing and networking for success is recognizing that our heart essence, what I call our soul purpose, is in alignment with one of the reasons why we were even born. I really believe that. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. And as we connect with what our passions are, with what I love about the Edgewalker work, is our passions, our purpose, our creativity, our sense of vision, we actually access that essence, that heart. And when we connect that with our day-to-day, let's say more practical, tangible, concrete activities of marketing our work, marketing our organization, marketing to our clientele, and networking as we're doing here and sharing with our colleagues, it almost has a life of its own, because there's an alignment of spirit, heart, and essence with a sense of the practical calling of what we feel called to do. So one of the things, and I have to share a great story about marketing, is I went to Antioch, New England for my graduate work, and I took a marketing course, and my professor was asking me about who my competition was in this particular project I was doing, and I said, "Well, I don't have any competition." And he said, "What do you mean you don't have any competition?" And I said, "Well, I went to Barnes & Noble, and there was no book with my name on it, and I started looking up information about other coaches and other speakers and retreat leaders, and there was no one else that had my name on it. And it actually kind of it irritated him a bit, because he said, well, there's not enough to go around. You know, his mindset, and this isn't a judgment, is that you've got to find your niche market, because there won't be enough in the pie. That was more his thinking. And what I said to him is that, well, from my perspective, I do have other coaches and speakers and leaders and consultants that do similar work, but because there's only one of me, I don't feel that there's a competition. So therefore, I do not allow the concept of the limitation of lack to affect my sense of attracting clientele and also networking. And it was interesting because the whole room hadn't really thought of it that way. And to be honest with you, I continue to have to teach what I need to learn, because sometimes it looks like there isn't enough business. But when I tap into my unique purpose that comes from my heart-centered approach, I collaborate from a sense of that there's enough to go around, that we're each coming from contribution and not survival. I find that it shifts the whole consciousness in the sense of not only how I attract new business, because I'm coming from what can I bring to you to enhance your organization or enhance your life or enhance your work, but when I'm coming from survival, and many of us may relate to this, it actually blocks the flow, because there's a belief that there is lack. There is belief that there's not enough to go around. I'm sure we can all have all felt that at times. So that's one kind of key philosophy, but also component in recognizing what are my unique talents and gifts, what are my passions, and what am I specifically contributing, and to do a little reality check with yourself to see if you're in survival mode based on the appearance of lack. And there are often, based on the economy and stuff, it seems like there's a lot of lack to go around, but I focus with my clients and with myself, whenever I'm perceiving that, to tune into what my gifts are, and it helps to enhance actually where there's a lot of opportunity and abundance, let's say, in the marketplace. So that was one of the key points. And the other one would be that's linked to your sense of purpose is, do you have a professional and a personal mission? And when I actually do a workshop on this topic that's longer than the time that we have, I have a series of personal and professional mission questions that, by the way, Judy, and for those on the call, if all of you are interested, maybe I can get your emails from Judy or something. I'd be happy to send you those questions if you feel that they would help you. But they're questions that I've designed to help you define and align your professional mission and your sense of purpose with your personal mission. And what I have found by working as an edgewalker coach and a business and a life coach for over 25 years is if there's an incongruence, let's say, rather than a disconnect between a person's sense of personal mission with what they feel called to do professionally, if the shared values that are often, let's say, part of our edgewalker skills and qualities are not in alignment with both the personal life and the professional, this also can be a very big disconnect between not only the success in a person's professional life, but in a sense of their personal fulfillment in their day-to-day life. So it's a much more holistic model to networking, collaborating, but also marketing to attract the right clientele. Because if we're aligned in our personal life with our professional sense of purpose and mission, we will align with colleagues that can collaborate in a way that is conscious and contributing, but also with clients that will be the perfect, we will not only be the perfect coach or consultant or organization for them, but they will be the right one for us. So a lot of what I'm talking about here is really soul alignment and professional alignment. And quickly, the five aspects of marketing that I'd also like to talk about are the who, what, where, when, how, and why. And The who would be your clientele? Well, I already talked about that. I don't have to get into that more, as well as your colleagues. The when would be, well, the interesting thing about the when is that even if we're, let's say, going to a networking meeting with colleagues or trying to attract new clients in a business networking lunch or something like that, those are specific places and communities where we can meet clients and colleagues. However, if we are in a situation where we are aligned on a personal professional, we can attract somebody at the post office, if that makes sense to all of you. So it's not like we're walking around being the very thing that we want to attract. So whether we're in a business meeting or whether we're in, in something that is more day-to-day at a restaurant, we can actually attract clientele at that point. So, sorry about that. It's just the phone for a second again. So the what would be to be really clear about what your contribution is, about what your purpose is, what's your mission, and really the benefits that you're here to bring people. One of the things I've continued to learn about marketing and networking as a way to be successful, for a long time I wanted to explain and promote myself, and that is definitely something that we want to do. We want to be really, really clear about what our gifts are and what our talents are and what we're here to contribute. But many of us probably know from marketing is the what's in it for me model. And the what's in it for me model is that we have to really think that we're our own clients. So one of the things that if you haven't already done is to really think about what are the benefits and the contributions, what is it that you bring to others? So in your marketing materials, as you speak in your networking meeting, as you speak to people about what you want to do, yes, you want to share your credentials, but what's even more important is to help them to understand what's in it for them. What are they going to walk away from? What are the benefits? And one of the things that I've learned is the more that I highlight what's in it for them, even more above, yes, my credentials are important, they can have a sense of what their marketing is, where we meet a need in the marketplace. And if we define that need for people, they will more clearly be attracted to what we have to offer if it's a match. And then how we do that could be there's numerous ways from social media, to our websites, to marketing meetings, to what we're doing here today, to groups like Edgewalker where we can bring ourselves together. So what I'm wondering is that these are some of the key points, and I do have 11 key points that I want to talk about at the end, but at this point, Judy, I don't know what you think, but I'm feeling like maybe we want to open up a little bit for some dialogue or discussion, or if anyone has some specific questions or anything, I'd be happy to answer them at this time.
Yeah, that sounds great. Let's see. Do we have any questions from any? I think one thing that could specifically help is if any of you have something in particular that you're wanting to market, or if you have some particular issue about how difficult it is to promote yourself, maybe you could share that with Patricia and get some coaching and advice on how you might work that particular issue. And that'd be helpful for the rest of us, because we all have things that we can learn from whatever advice Patricia gives you. Patricia, nobody has any problem marketing and networking.
Wow, that's great. I love it. Well, maybe this is just a reinforcement. But one thing that just comes to me that I'll speak to, and again, I know that we have on the phone, many of us have a lot of experience and are very seasoned in what we do. But one of the things I find a lot with people when it comes to networking but also marketing is, and this may or not be relevant, is that they say, well, I don't like to sell, or I don't like to, like I know a lot of people don't like to go into a networking meeting and feel like they're bothering people. So just a little tip I have is that sometimes it's difficult to approach people with what we're doing. But again, if we're, a lot of edgewalkers are passionate, it's not difficult to share what we're doing. But one of the things that I have found out is a great way to really get to know somebody and share what you do is ask people questions about them. Because a lot of people like to share about what they do, what their passion is, what their interests are. And I always say God gave us two ears and one mouth. So if we listen twice as much as we speak and if we ask questions, people will let us know whether they're colleagues or potential clients or want to become part of an organization. They will let us know where they're at. They will, if we really listen to hear, they will let us know what their needs are. They will let us know at the time how we might be able to help them. So it's really about showing interest, reaching out to people, having them share where they're at is a way to open up a conversation to determine if this is someone that you could maybe network with or share colleagues with or possible clients with, as well as ways to maybe even get referrals. And another way to market is a great way is to know how to ask for referrals. And a great way to ask for referrals is to say, do you know anybody who might be interested in what I have to, do you know anybody who might be interested in what it is that I have to, what I have to offer? I love asking for third-party referrals because a lot of people have a hard time saying, well, are you interested in what I'm doing? It's like, do you know of anybody? And I actually know of many, many people who would say, well, what about me? I'd love to know more about what you're doing. So it's sort of an indirect way to ask for business, to say, do you know anybody that may be able to be helped by my services? So it's sort of a softer way to ask, but it opens up the conversation. So just wanted to share that a little bit. It's one additional thing, and that when we so believe that what we are here to share is gold, it's not selling. You know, it's almost like I feel like the more I believe in, let's say, the edgewalker work, which is, I mean, it's who I am, it's what I do, I still believe in this group and in Judy and our message and our philosophy, that to speak about it is, it's not like I'm bothering people, it's like I'm actually adding to their life, and it's something that I can make a difference about, so it's not so difficult to share it. It's not that I'm selling myself or even selling edgewalkers, I'm actually sharing the very thing that I feel passionate about. So does that make sense?
Yeah. It makes a lot of sense.
Who was that just shared?
Pardon?
I'm sorry, I said, who was that just shared?
Oh, that was Ed Williams.
Hi, Ted. Hey, thank you, Ed.
Thank you.
Ed is a consummate networker, and so Ed, why don't you share some of the things that Patricia has said that you really resonate with, and maybe give some specific examples of things that you're doing in terms of your outreach and networking.
Well,
and particularly because you also use media, social media a lot, Ed. You're real good at that.
Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter to a much lesser extent, but Diane and I both use that just to promote basically what we're doing with Edgewalkers, along with the other committees that really kind of tie in with that, the Interfaith Harmony stuff and Compassion Fayetteville. You know, so it's really kind of lumped all together in kind of one big package. You know, one. When we do work on one thing, it really is tied in with all of them. But I do a lot of mass emails and so forth like that, but never have really gotten a lot of a lot of responses. You know, which is always curious. You know, because I think the Edgewalker stuff is terrific, and I just wonder, you know, with what the way I'm doing it, whether there's something that needs to be corrected or just to try to figure out what the deal is.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Ed, because I've also done a lot of promotion myself, and, you know, obviously we have our collaborative network, a lot of us are on the phone here, and some of us are not, but in terms of marketing Edgewalkers, I also have done, as Judy knows, you know, put out teleclasses. I've actually, continuing education, I've promoted a lot of classes and with an Edgewalker focus, and what I'm finding is that a lot of people love the name and they resonate with the name, but they don't quite understand how it could benefit them or how to translate that, I'm not sure, into something more tangible or concrete. So I actually was thinking, Judy, it's interesting, I wasn't really going to mention this today, but as I was looking, you know, more and more at the profile, and I've sent that out to some of my colleagues and also some of my coaching clients that I've got, it's a little more, I've talked to them about Edgewalker, but I think seeing the qualities and the orientations and the skill set, it makes it a little more tangible for them in terms of how it can really translate into their day-to-day business life. So I'm wondering if maybe sharing some of those, I don't know if you've done that, Ed, would be something that might draw more people in, because I've had a similar experience in terms of people resonating with the name but not quite, and yet wanting to see the benefit for them, like how that would assist them in their day-to-day work. I don't know if that helps at all. It's a suggestion.
Well, that's basically the tack that I was taking of updating the material that I send out to kind of create a teaser, if you will, of what the benefits could be for them if they take it.
Mm-hmm.
And then just offering it in with the new pricing schedules that we got, to incorporate that into it's more of an enticement to go ahead and try it for themselves and to see whether they see what they can get from it and learn from it, and then take the coaching aspect of it as a secondary action.
For those, this is Judy, and for those on the call who aren't familiar with what we're talking about, we have developed an Edgewalker profile assessment that helps an individual to know what his or her Edgewalker qualities are and what their skills are, and has a report that tells people where their strengths are in terms of being an Edgewalker, and it offers practical advice on how to develop your Edgewalker skills and qualities in greater depth. And we've decided that the report can stand alone, and that also people could benefit from further coaching if they want to have that action supported by someone who has walked the Edgewalker journey a little bit further down the path. So that's what they're talking about in terms of marketing. We're a pretty new organization, and it's a new offering. And so, Patricia, this is so timely to take a look at, just even within our own organization, what are we offering, what are the benefits? I resonated with that, too, when you talked about benefits. It's like, we get so excited about the Edgewalker concepts ourselves, kind of, you know, we describe our passion, but I don't think we've really made that link for how it benefits someone, particularly in language that might be more grounded in business language, you know, like innovation, creativity, inspired leadership. I mean, some of those kinds of words might be more helpful. So this conversation is quite thought-provoking. And I think also you said something about, you know, aligning with your purpose and attracting the perfect client. And that has some wonderful, intriguing practical aspects to it and spiritual aspects to it as well. I'm wondering if you can say a little bit more about that.
Well, you know,
that's something I think all of us
do. Yeah, no, I want to, and that's kind of the foundation of this teleconference today, but also my article. And you know, I don't know if many of you know this, but I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but Oprah Winfrey says that the purpose of Oprah Winfrey said of her life is to align her soul with her soul with her personality to support her vision. That's what she said. She said when she aligns her soul with her human personality, where they both support her vision, she is aligned with her purpose. I mean, look at Oprah Winfrey. So I saw her one time even speak about this, and this is, you know, this is something, Judy, we've been talking about for 20-something years, and many of us more and more do this, that it is, you know, we've all heard about the secret and the law of attraction, but when we are really so inspired and, you know, when we, because we do have a human personality, each of us, and we each, and a life path, but we also have a soul path. And when we bring those together, it's very powerful. And I think we, you know, I sometimes feel like, you know, particularly our Western culture, we have to get out there and we have to make it happen and we've got to, you know, swim upstream and make it work. And there is benefit and value in hard work. We need this kind of the masculine qualities of this, of let's say, of approaching business and the feminine qualities. And the masculine are the active and the doing and the tangible and the practical. But when we align that, like the yin-yang, with more of the inner, which is some of what this is about, the heart center, are we clear about what our contributions are? Not only I'm a great consultant and I'm strategic and I'm a good coach and I'm a visionary leader. Those are all amazing qualities. But are there aspects, each one of us, and this is a very personal journey in some capacity, to look within and say, are there aspects of my soul, my deeper heart, my maybe more feminine qualities, for lack of a better word, it doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman on the phone, that maybe are wanting to be expressed more in the world of business? You know, if we have a recipe, a mix, if I were to put those in more and mix them together, blend them together, and the key word in my article is integration. It's about integrating the soul with the personality. It's about integrating the masculine with the feminine, the doing with the being. And perhaps this time today, we can each assess, you know, I have found that I've had to be much more vulnerable and, in a sense, softer, and it feels a little more risky sometimes to be more in that heart-centered, soulful, softer feminine, softer skills, let's say, place. That when I'm in the world of business and I'm out there and doing and making it happen and calling and active, somehow for me it's felt safer, and yet I didn't always attract at the time, this is the past, perhaps the level of clientele who maybe were wanting to go deeper, wanting to be a more edgewalker leader, a more inspired leader, or maybe enhance their relationships not only for the bottom line of business, but the bottom line of what it would be from an emotional intelligence result. So I've had to learn as a coach and a leader and a speaker is that, and I've noticed this lately, is every time I speak now in the last year or so, particularly in the last 6 months, the clients I've been getting are women and men who want to go to a deep level and are much more open to the edge worker work than they would have been in the past, let's say, when I wasn't quite showing up that way. Does that make sense? So we attract where we're at. And when we're in a heart-centered place with our education, our master's degrees, and all the other things that make us the smart, bright, capable, achievable individuals, professionals that we are, but it's bringing that other piece in, I think that where we also become models. So when we're in the world marketing or networking or presenting or doing what we love, and it's not only what we're saying, it's the energy of which we're showing up, and that attracts people. I mean, I got up at I have to show you all. A few weeks ago, I was in Aspen, and I spoke to a women's business lunch. And you know how they get sometimes at a networking meeting, you go around the room, and I just said a two-minute thing about myself. And a girl came to my workshop the other night just based on that. I said, I'm curious, what made you come to and pay for a three-hour workshop based on a two-minute, hi, my name's Patricia Varley? She said it was your energy. She says, I didn't even know what you said. Which is something about your energy that made me want to get to know you better. Somebody else said, oh, my God, what you said I realized could benefit me. So, you know, have I tweaked that, you know, call it my elevator speech? Yes, but it's also a way in which I show up. Does that make sense to everybody? Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit of, the, you know, I say I reinvent success from the inside out. It's the inner from the inside out, and then it's also the outside in. So I don't know if that gives you a little bit of an example of what I'm speaking about and how it can work.
Right, right. Absolutely. It makes a lot of sense, Patricia. This is Diane. And I think another thing I was just, when you were presenting this last bit, what I was thinking is that so much of what an edgewalker is all about is being a risk taker. So I think perhaps along with the passion piece, it might be an idea to present to people that an edgewalker is a risk taker. It won't, that particular idea won't appeal to everyone, but if you're approaching business leaders, people that are looking for an edge, they might be more inclined to be open to the steps or the values and so forth of edgewalkers, knowing that it's attractive to risk takers. Not everyone is one, but those who are and are successful risk takers are leaders. And I think that's an important point that maybe a lot of people don't know about us.
This is Judy, and I just read something. I was trying to find the quote, and I can't. It was on a Huffington Post article, and some CEO, you know, like Bill Gates or somebody really well known like that, said that the only people they're interested in leadership in their company are risk takers. That's the only thing that's going to move the company forward. I'll have to see that and see if I can't post it on the Edgewalker website somewhere. But Diane, that really is an important point, that it's risk, taking risks that moves a company forward, it moves an individual forward, it moves the human race forward. It's trying something that's never been tried before. And we don't often talk about edgewalkers in that sense, and yet it's from a business perspective, it's so important for the life of an organization to encourage people to be risk takers, because so many organizations do just the opposite. You know, it's stay in the box, be predictable, be stable, and we need some of that as well. But if that's all you've got, your organization will die. And if people naturally, it's part of the human race to take risks. You know, it's always the human race. We've expanded and explored and created and tried new things. And for leaders to shut that part of human beings down, it's just a crime. And so that really needs to be changed in organizations if they're going to thrive and move ahead.
So it may be that when you gave your two-minute introduction, that your energy alone was enough to attract, you know, the people that you did. And if you add even more to different audiences, perhaps the risk-taking theme would work well, too. I'm just thinking, you know, if it was adapted to the audience that you're addressing, that risk-taker part might be really attractive to some people.
Yeah, I mean, Diane, I think you're making a really valuable point. I want to thank you for that, and also, Judy, with what you shared. And I remember many years ago I was living in Naples, Florida, and there was a group called the President's Forum, and it was all CEOs, like kind of like a peer group of CEOs that met once a month and from very high-end corporations. And I did a leadership mastery workshop for them. It was like a one-day intensive. And I spoke to them about what is it to be, you know, I didn't use the word edgewalker because Judy, at the time the book wasn't written, but in a sense that's what these, there were I think one woman and mainly 10 men, but what they all said is what my father of all people used to say to me is that 5% of the people lead and 95% hang on. And what a lot of them said is that they felt alone a lot at the top. They felt that they were out-of-the-box thinkers. They were willing to take risks. They went with their intuition. It was fascinating. You know, many of them were maybe more conservative than perhaps some of us might be on the phone in terms of maybe they really weren't edge walkers. But what I'm even realizing about myself, like, for example, I did this workshop the other night for women. Not a lot of people are interested in risk. Not a lot of, and this is not a judgment, you know, it's just what it is. Not a lot of people want to be edge walkers. They don't want to go deeper. They don't want to step out of the box. It's very scary for a lot of people. They have their particular way that they operate in the world, and that's fine. That's a beautiful thing. But what I've had to continually learn as an edge walker, and even in the area of promotion, is to know that if I really want to attract the people that I want to work with, or even whether work with or have work for, it means more and more of me taking the risk. And I want to share another a great story. This is from years ago. Many years ago, I upgraded my website. It was very, very corporate at one point. And then I started kind of making it a bit more, you might call, like kind of feminine, masculine, the colors, the wording. I changed it. And a lot of my friends in the Northeast said, you know, you're never going to get good clientele that way because people are going to perceive that you're not professional. And I said, yeah, but this website, I'm not being authentic. My marketing is not authentic. And I'm getting clients who are not open to the kind of work that I want to do. So I took the risk, changed my website a bit, and out of the blue, I get this call from this financial company in New York City who were looking for a business coach. It was a gentleman, and they were at the MetLife building in Manhattan, and he said, you know, we've been online looking, we need a business coach for organization individually and for the group, and we saw your website, and we liked it. I said, really? I go, what? I was actually kind of surprised, and I said, what was it that drew you to my website? He goes, you were different. He goes, you're different. He goes, and we need something different. We don't quite know how you're different, but we know we can't do the same thing anymore. So I'm sure, and I got a year contract with this financial company. I was living in Florida at the time. They flew me up to New York once a month to work with this group for a whole year because I took the risk to have my marketing materials be different. And when I flew up to meet them, I said, what the heck? I might as well just put myself out there as I'm marketing myself, I'm networking. And because I was willing to be on the edge, they were an organization that was ready to work at that level. Even though it was uncomfortable, they knew they couldn't do it the way that they were before. So I wanted to share with it an example of how we can have success. And Judy, I believe you know this, and many on the call might. I think the marketplace is more open now. That was like 10 years ago. It was more open now than it was even a few years ago. I think that organizations and companies and entrepreneurs and people are recognizing leaders that there are other ways that are calling us, but they don't always know what those are. And I think that what we're doing here is one need in the marketplace that we can fill as edgewalkers.
That's so exciting for me to hear you say. I love that story, Patricia. It's just a beautiful example of being more authentic, showing up as yourself and what you attract. And the website or brochures or how we speak or how we make a two-minute speech, all of that is just really, you know, you've been in a great example of how you align with your soul and your purpose. So I have a question for you because we've got just a few more minutes. Let's say that somebody on this call or someone who listens to the recording says, I love what Patricia's saying, and I want to know if I engage her as a coach to help me with my marketing from the inside out, how does Patricia work? What would that be like? Can you share, you know, so I come to you and I say, I really need your help marketing Edgewalkers or marketing my new book or whatever. What would be how you start and kind of laying out how you work with someone?
Sure. Thanks, Judy, for the question. Well, initially, if anyone has an interest in working with me, I have an initial consultation on the phone that's maybe about 45 minutes that is complimentary because I really want to, you know, I don't charge them up front because I really want to see where the individual is, where the organization is, to see if there's a fit. So that means, are they resonant with my approach and am I able to really help them? So just in terms of aligning with integrity, I do that first. And if there's an agreement that, yes, let's work together, obviously I want to find out first and foremost in an assessment what their need is, what they're looking for, and usually the first call will do that. And I have so much material that I will work with someone. I usually work with a client once a week initially for about 3 months, but if, you know, sometimes people can't do that, I do at the minimum every other week. So coaching is successful because it creates an ongoing support, honesty, integrity, and accountability. And in addition to phone calls or Skyping, and on occasion I'll meet with people if we're in the same geographic area, there will be materials based on what they need that I will send them that I call like assignments. I don't really want to call it homework. So there is a success formula that I use that's a combination of actual facilitation on the phone or Skype along with materials that are customized based on what I find that the individual or the company would need. And we also determine, I use like kind of what Stephen Covey says, let's begin with the end in mind. So I look at what are your objectives and your results, and then let's back up from there. And we begin to come up with a strategy and a plan that will, over time, that will move the individual forward to achieve their goals and objectives. But there's another piece that I do, and this is the inside-out piece with the coaching, that is really about more of an inner process, because I have a lot of people that come to me that want to market and network and make more money and change their businesses, which is very important. But I also examine initially, are there any blocks? Are there any beliefs that you might have? Are there many obstacles that we can identify in a compassionate way, in a way with patience, with self, so that we can move you past any of the inner blocks or beliefs that might actually be getting in the way of your business plan? If the business plan is great, let's say to build a business and a marketing plan, but if there's some sabotage or inner fears that are in the way, I do spend some time in a confidential, gentle way working with those so that we can then bring the outer strategic focus of results with greater success. Because my work is very core. If there's blocks, let's get to the bottom of them. Let's release them so that any results that you achieve are long-lasting. This is not about Band-Aids. This is, you know, a cookie cutter. It's much more customized and focused. It's very, very focused work.
Wow, thank you.
That answers your question, Judy.
Yes, very much. Thank you so much.
And I'm also going to be doing the Edgewalker assessment much more. I do want to add that. That with many more clients, my new ones and existing, I'm bringing the profile in more as well because I want to work at that level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so helping people to look at the inner and outer work of being an Edgewalker in terms of meeting their goals, what they want to do. Yeah.
Absolutely,
Yeah. Thank you. You know, I'm also wondering from the rest of the group, you know, I think about where, when I've had clients, where they come from, and mostly it's been from either speaking, from teaching a class somewhere, and occasionally from my book, and then rarely, but actually it seems like it's happening more frequently now, from my website. And I just wonder, you know, if we look at from an appreciative point of view, what works? What has worked for others on this call? What have you been most successful at in terms of your own networking and marketing? maybe even a success story like Patricia just shared. Is there anything you would like to share with us?
Well, for me, and this is Diane, what I did was formed a group of women that I knew. Some of them were friends, some were just acquaintances. And we started meeting on a monthly basis. And the idea was to learn about what an edgewalker was. And they all took the test. And I believe that just that in itself gave me a few other leads, because they would tell friends and let other people know how much they enjoyed what they were doing, what they were learning about themselves. So I think that maybe the classes, which I hope to return to soon, but teaching a class seems to be a really wonderful way to get connected and to get people, get the message out to people.
Thank you. Thanks, Diane. So teaching classes, sharing your what you know, and people talking about it. It's kind of like I get the image of dropping a pebble in a pond, and you share it with a small group of people, and then it expands outward.
Okay.
And,
the
message goes that way. Yeah. Anyone else want to share what works for them? This is Judy, and so I know we're getting near the end of the call. And I also thought I'd like to share something about the inner work of networking, which you've talked about, Patricia. I'm an introvert, and actually went through a time in my life when I was probably agoraphobic. I mean, it was beyond being painful shy. It was it's just nearly impossible for me to leave my house, because I was afraid I would run into someone else. And the thing that got me out of that was passion. Being passionate, for me, it was about music. And even though it was painful for me to think about meeting with someone else and playing music with them, the love of music overrode what really was an unhealthy, probably mentally ill behavior. So, I've had the severe introversion and avoidance of networking and connecting. But one thing led to another out of my passion, so that eventually I started taking guitar lessons and playing with other people, and then eventually starting a coffee house and running a coffee house and doing things that I never thought I could do, because I followed my passion one step at a time, and all of that meant networking and reaching out to people that I was intimidated by, and yet I knew they could help me if they were willing. And so that inner work of being in touch with our soul's mission and our gifts and what we love to do, it really, really is transformational. And I just think it's so important, Patricia, that you bring this in terms of profound and important make a positive.
Thank you. And, Judy, it's interesting, because you probably remember this about me as well, because I'm also an introvert, is that my greatest fear was public speaking, and the fact that I do it now with ease. And, I mean, you wouldn't have got me up in front of a room for anything when I was younger. And as I connected with my sense of purpose and that I really had a message to help people, I was able to get out of my own fear enough so that I could actually discover not only a gift that I had to speak, but to actually help others. So it got me out of my own, you might say, fear and insecurity as well.
Yeah, that's, you're quite an inspiration.
Well, thank you, Judy. So are you.
Thank you. So we are at the end of our call, and Patricia, I want to just thank you again so much for all that you're doing in the world, for all the support you've given me and so many others, and for sharing your wisdom on this call and in writing. And in fact, I'm going to make a request of you that would it be okay to take your article and post it on the Edgewalker website so that people who are interested in this topic can look at, or would you like to make any revisions and updates to that article? And
well, I'm not sure which one you have. I was going to actually suggest that you do post it if you, you know, if you'd like to. That would be, I could, let me look at it first, Judy, and I may revise it and send it to you, but if not, whether I revise it or not, I absolutely feel free to post it. I would be happy to do that for everybody.
That would be awesome. And you also mentioned some questions about...
I can send those to you, Judy, to put on the website or and or anyone on the call if you want to, if they're comfortable with the email. I'm happy to send it to everybody on the call or send it to you to pass out.
Terrific. And it's Patricia at Patricia Varley, V-A-R-L-E-Y.
Yeah, Varley.com, yeah.
Uh-huh. And, of course, the website is patriciavarley.com. And I do encourage everybody to go look at Patricia's website, especially after hearing the story, and you'll really get a sense of Patricia and her unique gifts and her grace and beauty, that energy that, does so wonderfully attract people. You'll see how she's done that for herself, and perhaps it can inspire you for whatever website or other marketing material you're creating for yourself. I know it's inspired me. So, Patricia, Why don't you go ahead and close us out with whatever way you'd like to close this teleconference?
Well, sure. I'd love to just thank you, Judy, and thank you all for your time today and for Judy for giving me the opportunity to do one of the things that I love so much, and hopefully contributing to each of you that has shown up today. And I just would want to really maybe close with just a reminder about that there's only one of you in all of time. And here's another quote that I use at the end of the article that I hope will inspire you. And it says, you are here for a purpose. There is no duplicate of you in the whole world. There has never been and there never will be. You are brought here now to fulfill a certain need. Take time to think that over. And I wish you all success and support and the courage and the vision and the creativity and play, all the edgeworker qualities and skills to move your life and your work forward with meaning and purpose. And thank you so much for your time today.
Yeah, aloha and mahalo, Patricia.
Yes, thank aloha and mahalo.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you all. Thank you, Judy.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.